No, your mic's not on. There we go. Anyway, let's see. Where am I at? Robotics Roundtable is brought to you by Kettering University, Gaijin Manufacturing, Lake Michigan College, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Bradford Insurance, and Lakeshore Public Schools. Glad to have you along with us. This is, what, week three already, isn't it? Week two. That last Thursday messed me up, Tim.
Yeah, this is actually week three of competition.
Week three of competition.
And we have done now three shows for the season.
Yeah, so, because we were live at St. Joe High School last week for the district competition at St. Joe High School. So tell me a little bit about how that went real quick last weekend. It was amazing to see everything in the different setups.
It was an amazing weekend. We've got some stories to tell as we start talking to the students here, but locally, a quick recap. We had 40 teams from across the state of Michigan here, and locally we were represented very well. There's a competition piece that happens. So in the competition, the Average Joes, they were the number one overall seed. They actually went on to win the competition, but we had, I think I counted up here, a total of about 8 or 9 teams that made it into the elimination round.
Mm-hmm.
So almost a third of the teams that made it to the elimination round were from this area. Some of them for the first time. There's a position where you are a captain in the Alliance selections, and the Benton Harbor Tech Tigers, who joined us last week,
right,
they did phenomenally well. They were a 7th-seeded captain,
mm-hmm.
Exceeded their expectations, probably one of the feel-good stories of all the feel-good stories that we had. And then also the other participant we had last week, Team 6627, the Nordic Vikings out of Niles,
mm-hmm.
they were the rookie all-star, qualified to go to the state competition to be interviewed.
Nice.
And performed exceedingly well.
Okay, great. Well, it was an amazing time. I got to come out a little bit on Friday and Saturday. You were so busy, I didn't even see you. But
so what was the parking like? Because I had people at work telling me it was kind of tough. So tell me about maybe parking on Saturday.
Well, you know, I was fortunate. I brought the radio station vehicle, so I got VIP parking. They kind of let me through the barricades. But when I did look at the lot, yeah, there were people parking along the road as you come in, and then the side streets around the school. It was
The comment I heard was they have never seen parking that bad, even for a football.
Yeah, it was pretty busy around the corner from the school and into some of the residential areas where people were parking because the lot was full, obviously. But like I said, you know, when you're a VIP like I am, you know, you get the preferential treatment.
Ode to be Ray.
Now you got there really early, so you probably got a good stall.
That's why I asked the question. I got there about 6 o'clock in the morning and left after the event both days. So as far as I knew, it was pretty open parking. So.
Yeah, pretty wide open.
Yes,
so real quick before we get into talking to the mentors and introducing the teams that we have here tonight. So what's next? We had the district competition in St. Joe last weekend. What's next? What's coming up for
we had actually throughout the state of Michigan last week, we had 4 competitions that happened. And then we have another 4 competitions coming up this week.
Mm-hmm.
The teams that we're going to talk to tonight, the Chieftainators out of Dowagiac and Team Lancebot out of Stevensville Lakeshore, are both headed to Gull Lake. So we'll get a little bit of input on, we had a successful week and now we got to turn around and get ready again for another competition. So 4 more competitions this weekend, all culminating in the Michigan State Championship, which will be held the week of, it'll be April 12th through the 15th up mm-hmm. in Saginaw.
Fantastic. So who do we have here? You briefly introduced the teams that we have here and the mentors for joining us tonight, Tim.
So we're going to do this. We're going to go ladies first again, Mike. So we're going to start with Elisa. And Elisa is a mentor with Team Lancebot. Maybe tell us a little bit about yourself, Elisa, and how you've been involved with the team.
My day job is as a medical receptionist at a local medical practice. I'm not a professional in marketing communications, but that is the area that I mentor for our team. It's something that I've been doing informally on my own for a little over 30 years. The team recruited me rookie year. Somebody that knew me from my work with the high school musical caught me in the hall and said, hey, we're starting this new thing, a robotics team, and we need some help in that area. How about you come join us? Well, there you go.
So how many years have you been involved?
We are a 6-year team, so I've been involved 6 years. By the end of that spring, hey, honey, they could use some help on the electrical team.
And,
yep.
And honey would be
my husband, Don Cook.
Your husband, Don, who
he mentors the electrical team, and he's been with the team now 5 years. He saw the writing on the wall and
joined in.
Volunteered that fall.
It is tough to walk away. One thing that I wanted to in the first segment, we try to talk to the mentors about a lot of things, and there's one thing I really would like to capture. We talk about the continuous growth that we're trying to get in first in this area, and a lot of that happens when we start working with the younger students in the area. So what have we've done a pretty good event the last 2 years with hosted by Team Lancerbot. So if you could talk about that a little bit.
Right. It's called Lancerbot Mania. It's held at Lakeshore Middle School. It's at the end of first semester, and we've held it 2 years now. The first year we had 12 teams that showed up. This past year in November, we had 20 teams that showed up, and I think we were aiming for 30. Is that right, Tim?
The goal is 30 teams. And this
30
is,
this coming year.
This is the first LEGO League, so this is the upper elementary school students.
Right.
And the growth has been phenomenal. We have had, it has become a very popular event. Last year, the Bridgman Community Schools had six teams there. I spoke with a mentor from the Bering Springs FRC team this past weekend, and their goal is to match that six teams. So continue to grow just locally in the area, which is then becomes the feeder for all of these high school teams that we have.
Right. We started with a high school program first, and then after we'd been going for, you know, 2-3 years, something like that, we started hearing about interest at the elementary schools, and they started the first LEGO League, the FLL programs, where the kids work with LEGO Mindstorms robots. And then we wound up with an FTC, a First Tech Challenge team, at the middle school. And they've been going 2 years now. They had a fantastic rookie year. They walked away with an Innovation and Control Award, which is an engineering award. And I think they captained an alliance or something like that. But at any rate, once there gets to be one team in the area, it fosters the growth of other teams. It seems to follow, and that's a fantastic thing.
It is, and then essentially the students that we'll talk to in a little bit later here are basically going out and helping and recruiting their replacements. I want to talk a little bit with Mike from the Chieftainators, and some may recall Mike was on the radio with us last year, and he brings a different perspective because he's got some history with FIRST prior to being in this area. So, Mike, if you could introduce yourself, maybe what you do professionally and your involvement with FIRST.
Hi, my name is Mike McCabe, and I work for AEP at DC Cook. I'm an engineer. I'm in the performance improvement department, and I specifically take operating experience from other nuclear power plants and apply it to DC Cook so that we don't commit the same mistakes. So essentially we're making our plant more excellent through the use of operating experience. I've been involved with FIRST since 2005. My middle child, my daughter, she would go to cheerleading, and when cheerleading was done, she would go to robotics. And when I went to go pick her up one day, she said, "Hey, Dad, can you help put together this transmission?" So I started putting together a transmission, and there I got hooked. And from that point on, I've been involved with essentially three teams. This is the third team I've been involved with, the Chieftainators. The other two teams were from the East Coast. When I started, there were barely 2,000 teams. And now there's over 5,000 teams. So it's grown quite considerably.
Yeah, if we take a look, the team numbers that are assigned, we are right now, rookie team is 6,300 or greater. And I think there was a couple, okay, I saw that were like, well, team 6,627 out of Niles. So there's quite a large number of teams. And then a little bit for maybe the students in the room, if they don't know this, your daughter and what she does and how her first experience may have helped her a little bit.
Yeah, my daughter, she was a go-getter, cheerleader. She was a cheerleader for the team, whatever team she was on. And essentially she went on, she met another person on another robotics team at a championship, and that individual worked for Lockheed Martin. She was able to get in to NASA, and she was a space camp instructor at space camp with NASA down in Merritt Island, Florida. And she now works for NASA. She's going for her engineering degree, and I have two other children, one older than my daughter and one younger, and both of them are going into engineering as well.
So it's safe to say that FIRST has definitely affected your life. So We're going to come up against a break here, Ray, so let's transition to talking a little bit about our sponsors when we come back.
Yeah, so what are we going to do? Grab that other mic there, Tim. What are we going to be talking about when we come back from the break?
So when we come back, we're going to be talking to the stars.
The
adults are one thing, but we want to talk to the stars. So yeah. The bar's been set, guys. Are you ready?
Yeah, absolutely. The team's with us tonight, Tim.
The Chieftainators out of Dowagiac, Team 5182, and Team 4237, Team Lanceabout out of Lakeshore.
Okay, we'll be talking with the stars coming up. This is Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM, brought to you by Kettering University, Gation Manufacturing, Lake Michigan College, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Bradford Insurance, and Lakeshore Public Schools. We'll take a break and be back with more on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. 6:20 at News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Robotics Roundtable on a Tuesday night, brought to you by the good people at Lakeshore Public Schools, Scott Bradford at Bradford Insurance, good friend of mine, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Lake Michigan College, Gation Manufacturing, and the good folks over at Kettering University. I'm Ray Gustafson, along with Tim Dudai. I want to welcome people watching on Facebook Live. If you'd like to see what we're doing here in the studio, or maybe they really don't want to see what we're doing here, Tim, but... But you can go on to WSJM on Facebook. We're live streaming it right now if you'd like to check out what's going on. Tonight we're talking with, as we do every week, we are about to introduce the stars of the night. Right, Tim?
Yes, very much so. The stars of this entire program, of first, and actually the stars of this past weekend. So what we'll do is we'll just go around the table, have the students give a name and school that you're with and what grade that you're in. And we'll start to my left.
All right. I'm Drew from Lakeshore, and I'm a senior on Team Lanceabout.
I'm Carson. I'm from the Chieftainators. I'm a sophomore, and I just want to say I'm the lead executive assistant programmer.
Staking his claim.
I'm Kyle from Lakeshore. I'm a senior, and Team 4237, Team Lanceabout.
I'm Jacob, the only freshman on the Chieftainators team, 5182. And they put me in charge of keeping the batteries charged at competition. So I took an extra drive team button. Sorry. I put yellow electrical tape on it and wrote battery monitor on it.
The battery monitor.
You know what happens if anybody steals batteries, Tim? They get arrested on a battery charge.
Oh my god. And we just lost everybody.
Wait, the number of people watching on Facebook just went down.
We have negative now. Dana, save us.
You can charge a pun like that.
Here we go.
I'm Dana. I'm from Team 4237, the Lanceabouts. Lakeshore, and I'm a sophomore.
I'm Allison. I'm from Team 5182, Chieftainators, and I'm a sophomore.
Very good, very good. So I have to go back. It was lead executive, right, Carson? So,
lead executive assistant programmer.
So lead executive assistant. Somehow or another, those kind of clash at the end. Assistant means you're not really in charge. You kind of think you are.
I'm in charge of the assistant.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Moving to the top of the assistant pile. Well, thank you to all you guys for being here. In the past, we've kind of talked a little bit about what FIRST is, but what I want to get is a recap from you guys, all of you, what you thought of this past week's competition. And as we go around the table, maybe just a discussion about what we thought, what each of your teams thought headed into the week, and then what you had happen coming out of the competition. Allison, we'll start with you.
Well, for our team, we initially were just thinking we had everything pretty much. We could do gears, we could climb, and we had a ball shooter.
So we're gonna make sure that we let everybody on air know that also, too. So there's three aspects of the game that the teams are trying to do, and that is the gears, and that is, what do you do with the gears?
You take them you use your robot to transport them from either the human player or the ground, if you can pick them up, to the airship. And the more you get on the airship, the more propellers you have spinning, the more points you can earn.
Okay, so that becomes a piece of strategy, correct? And then Dana, we'll have you add a little bit besides, what else besides gears are we trying to do?
In the last 30 seconds of the match, you can climb the airship, and that is...
So the climbing piece is not, it's not one of the human players grabbing a rope and climbing, it is...
No, it's our robot scaling a rope at the end.
Okay. And then the third component?
The third component is You can collect balls from the human player station. When the game starts, you also have the robot filled with balls. During the first, what is it, a minute? The first minute is autonomous, and each ball made in the boiler is 1 point.
Autonomous is the first 10 seconds.
Autonomous is basically the robot on its own, how it's been programmed, and it's the first 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then after that, then it becomes teleoperated, so we have a driver.
Dana, I got to ask about, you mentioned the robot climbing the rope. How much does a typical robot weigh? Do you know approximately in pounds? Or if anybody could chime in, what's it? Just grab a mic. Yep.
So the average robot usually weighs between 100 and 120 pounds. We have a weight limit of 120.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on the lighter side, you're usually a little bit closer to 100. But our robot this year actually weighs about 110 pounds with the battery and the bumpers on it.
So how in the world, and I watched them do it, and I couldn't get up close enough, Tim, so somebody asked you guys, how do you make it climb the rope? I saw it, and it was amazing, and it blew me away. But how do we get it to climb the rope? What does it physically do? Does it have little arms that reach out and fingers? And
yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Carson, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, you see, on the front of our robot, we have a two motors that are connected to a cylinder. It has, I don't know what you call them, pegs. They're basically mm-hmm. ends of bolts with the heads cut off.
Okay.
Hooked onto it. And it we have it spinning. And as the rope is dropped down, it gets caught in there by some knots. And just tensions itself up all the way up. I also want to point out the fact that our robot weighs less than 88 pounds.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
So you have the ability, and we'll talk a little bit about this, because you're heading to another competition. You haven't maxed out. You have the ability to add components to your robot if you need to do that.
Yeah, that's kind of a sticky situation, though.
Sticky situation how?
Well, when you're not at the competition itself, you have to have the bot in the bag inside of a big plastic bag, unless you're during like 6 hours of out-of-bag time. Which you can only have 30 pounds out of the bag.
Okay.
Which means you can only put 30 pounds back on the bot, I believe.
Okay. So, and I'd forgotten about that, but and maybe, Drew, you can talk about this. When you get to the competition, is it just the honor system, or, you know, what do you have to do when you unload your robot? Do you have to talk to anybody, show anybody, present your robot?
So as soon as we get to the competition, basically we all have an equal amount of time out of bag from competition start to the competition end, but that is obviously regulated as much as possible by the judges and by volunteers that are running inspections and making sure that the robots are A, safe, and B, a regulation, so everyone's following the same rules.
So then there's a lead robot inspector part of the group, the robot inspectors check your robot in at the competition, correct?
That is correct, and actually our mentor here with us today, her husband was our inspector delegate from Team Lancelot this week.
And that's a key thing also, too, is the teams that come to the events, we bring volunteers to the event. So we had several teams here. We had teams, the one that jumps out to me right away is Team 3688 from Sutton's Bay. And Team 3688 has been to this event, I think, the last 4 years, I want to say. So every year there's something about this event where they come, they enjoy the event, and they always have in pit admin, so in the pit area, there's always announcements throughout the entire weekend, attention in the pits, and that's Carl from Sutton's Bay team. I tell him that every time I see him, his voice just booms, but he walks into the building, his team gets checked in, and he immediately steps up, and he volunteers throughout the entire course of the rest of the weekend. It's a very much a community event. I wanted to talk with each of you guys. So you're at the point now where your teams competed last weekend, and now we're headed towards, all of you are headed to Gull Lake this coming weekend, correct?
Correct.
So what type of preparations, you know, things that you learned from last weekend and heading into the coming competition, what are you working on right now?
So one thing that Team Lancelot's trying to work on right now is we are scouting ahead. So we're looking at teams that are going to be there with us that have already competed. So we'll look at what they've done in the past and how we can work with them in the future. In addition, we're analyzing our previous week and how we can improve our robot as well as our own performance. That way we get the best out of our competition and we get to see the best of other teams.
Allison, what's Team Chieftainator? What are you guys working on?
Well, at St. Joseph last week, we ended up finishing in 30th place out of 40. So after competition was over, when everybody else was going into quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals, we took our robot apart and started off with something different than what we had before. So we're just trying to finish that up in our 6 hours out of bag time for right now.
And the plan for what pieces you would take off and how you were going to change, that came about over the course of the last weekend's competition, correct?
Yes, that is correct. We figured out that ball launching is pretty inefficient, and we had no purpose for it, so we took our ball shooter and our ball basket thing off of it.
And that seems to have been something I've seen a lot of teams look at is, you know, okay, where's the risk and the reward? And you may spend a lot of time on tuning the ball shooting, but there's not very much reward there. We're going to go ahead and take a little bit of a break here. We're going to come back and continue the conversation. We'll probably start off here with Dana, so get ready, Dana.
This is Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. If you'd like to follow along with us on Facebook, we are streaming live right now. Tim, who's some of the people watching on Facebook Live right now?
So actually, I'm kind of watching here. So like Bob Winters, I work with Gary Langbo, and my brother, who's on the other side of the state. So I'm happy to have him watching.
All right. Robotics Roundtable brought to you by Kettering University, Gation Manufacturing, Lake Michigan College, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Bradford Insurance, and Lakeshore Public Schools. We'll take a break, talk more with the stars right here on Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. On News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Robotics Roundtable, a show we do every Tuesday night from 6 until 7. Glad to have you along with us this evening. Robotics Roundtable is brought to you by Lakeshore Public Schools, Bradford Insurance, the Berrien Springs Public Schools, Lake Michigan College, Gation Manufacturing, and the good folks at Kettering University. And in addition to being online, we're also streaming this live on Facebook. So if you'd like to go to the Facebooks and go to WSJM's Facebook page. It's kind of fun to see some of the comments and the little hearts and things that are going across the screen. So if you've got a question or a comment you'd like to make to us here tonight, we're watching as well. I see Brian just came on board to watch on Facebook. Hey, Brian, how you doing? Glad to have you along with us on Facebook as well. I'm joined by my cohort and co-host and partner in crime, Mr. Tim Denai. And before the break, we were talking with the superstars of the evening. Why don't you introduce our teams again real quick? And I think it's time we do the shout-out thing, isn't it? Where we let them kind of say hello to some friends.
Right? So we're going to blend that in. By the way, was that a superstar?
Is
that
superstar.
That's what I thought. I think so. But Ray's been up since early this morning doing the morning show with Pat Moody, so we'll forgive him.
I got a nap in. I'm good.
So before we went off to break here, we talked a little bit about the experience at the competition. So Dana, tell me what you thought of the competition. What were you focused on during that competition?
I am focused on scouting throughout most of the time, and one thing that we learned was that we need to be more efficient when it comes to having everyone on the team scout and everyone learn.
So talk a little bit about scouting, and then anyone else that might be tied into scouting. I want to know what that is, because that's a piece that happens that no one really knows about, but it is a very vital piece of what you're doing. So first tell me a little bit about what you guys are doing when you're scouting.
When we're scouting, we have a piece of paper and we take notes on the teams that we are watching. We assign a robot to every team so we can make sure that we know what other teams can do.
So when we talked a little bit about the gears and the climbing and the ball shooting, are those pieces that we're looking at, is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, we look at how many gears they can put on the thing, if they climb efficiently, if they're efficient as a whole, how they work with other teams.
So what we're learning, and you know, this is Mike, we were talking about running the plant efficiently. What we're looking at is we're gathering data, and then we're going to analyze that data. So that's an engineering piece that comes into play here that doesn't even come up in a discussion when we usually talk. I don't think we've ever really covered that in too much depth, Ray, but it is amazing to see the data that they gather. And then there's this point where we do the alliance selection, where the teams are quickly using that data. We've gathered data for a day and a half, and now it comes into play to select who our final partner is going to be. Before we go to someone else, Dana, did you have a shout-out that you want to give?
Yeah, to Madeline Dale, because she keeps me sane.
She keeps you saying. And Madeline Dale is she's a partner on Team Lanceabout, correct?
Yes, she's on the build team.
Very good. Allison, did you have a shout out that you want to do?
I was actually going to do my dad because he is a mechanic and he just works on his own. So he's kind of the reason I got into robotics in the first place.
Very good. Has he participated? He come to competitions?
No, he's always working when we have a competition. He does a lot of side work to get extra money for the house now. So he's always really busy, but he's always there to support us and he drives me to everything. So
that sounds like a good dad. So you can also then help dad too, because I can tell you from my personal experience and my family can tell you, unfortunately, you can catch every event live. I was streaming the event. We did the St. Joe event this weekend, Friday and Saturday. I got up Sunday, went down to Mishawaka and helped them in the judging room in their first event. And then I came back home and the family watched the event live. So you can let your dad know that he can watch you. We're going to step over to the other side of the table here. Jacob, you want to maybe give a shout out at the start here?
I would like to have a shout out, I guess, to my mom and my dad for really encouraging me to get into robotics.
Very good. Very good. So what did you think of the competition and just the environment being at the building?
Very energetic. It was the first competition I've ever been to for the FRC robotics in general. It was a lot of fun. Got a lot to meet a lot of new people as well.
New people, and so talk a little bit about the experience of being in the pits and maybe the helpfulness from one team to the next.
After the competitions were over and the qualifying matches were over, we were changing the motors on our climbing mechanism, so I had to go, and we had run out of crimps to get the wires to connect, and so I had to go over to another team, Bob, which was right across the pits, I guess.
And do you know what Bob stands for?
Built on Brains.
Built on Brains, Team 85 out of Holland.
Yep. So, and they were very nice. They did have crimps that we could use. They let us use them.
And that's a part of the environment that we see all the time, you know, willing to lend a helping hand. So Jacob is the rookie, gets to see that. Kyle, you're the veteran. Is that something new, seeing that, you know, people sharing information and sharing parts?
No, that's actually an integral part of FIRST is they always put forth a gracious professionalism as their number one goal. So even though you might be on a team against the other guys in one match, a few matches later you might be on a team with them, so you want everyone working at their peak performance, and you don't want anyone to have a bad time. So
gracious professionalism, because in my position I'm a judge advisor, so we give an award out for gracious professionalism. So is that the reason why there's gracious professionalism, because there's an award?
No, I'd say that the award is just there as icing on the cake. Like I said, we want all the robots going. We want everyone to have a good time. And we really want the FIRST to show that you can all help each other. You can all make sure that everyone's doing good. Everyone's doing their best. And make sure that everyone, like I said, has a great time.
It's fair to say that if you win in a competition, you want your opponent to be at their best when you win, correct?
Yeah. Never fun to see the other guys lose because they get wedged up on something or they lose connection. You always want to, when you win, you always want to know that you won because your robot was good and everyone played their best.
Good.
So
we're going to talk to Carson a little bit. Before we do, what kind of shout-out you got?
I'd like to give a shout-out to our teammates that are currently working on improving our robot for our next competition this week on Gull Lake.
Very cool. Also, you probably want to give a shout-out to Brian Vanderpowski and JR Automation, because JR Automation is part of your team. Congratulations. That's what just came across here on Facebook. So thank you very much for listening, Brian.
All right. Shout-out to JR. Thanks.
Carson, so what did you think of the experience at St. Joe? Was it what you expected? And what are you thinking heading towards Gull Lake?
Well, I mean, I'm a sophomore now. I mean, last year that was a surprise when I got there. This year, I mean, I kind of knew what to expect, having been to St. Joe before.
So last year was a surprise. And tell me how you were surprised. What caught you off guard?
Just the intensity of it. The friendliness of other teams at the same time.
And then even still expecting that, walking into the building this year, did it still kind of, you know, how did you feel once you got in there? Was it just like, yep, it's how I remembered it, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much how I remembered it. It just awesome in general, I guess.
That's that word right there, awesome. I interviewed a team in Battle Creek. I also was a judge advisor in week one event, and I talked to a rookie team, and that word right there, I asked the student, what do you think of this event? And he took probably about 3 or 4 seconds pause and just said, this is awesome. And it was the fact that their team felt welcome, that they could share information, and everybody just wanted to help them. So, I mean, if you wrap it up into one word, it's a great feeling. Every time I walk into our first event, Ray, it's awesome, and it's just kind of uplifting. We've talked about this in the past. Enough crazy things happen in the world. You walk into this event, and it's a different level, and you walk out with a very strong energy to carry you through the rest of the weekend. We want to go ahead and finish here with Drew going around the table. So, wait, did we get a shout-out from you, Carson?
No, we did not.
So what's that shout-out?
Well, first I want to make a little shout-out to my parents who might be listening. I don't know. And
we're going to assume they are. We're going to go with that.
And also Billy Preston, he's my cousin, lives right down the road from me. He's helped me get to and back from our robotics meetings pretty much every time, even after we were in that car accident.
Well, very good. We don't want to hear about car accidents.
Yeah, yeah. I was just mentioning it. Okay.
But thank you, Billy, for getting him there and, you know, back and forth. So, Drew, tell us a little bit about, I mean, again, just like Kyle, the senior. I mean, you're a veteran of these wars, so maybe tell us about the weekend, how it went, and then the conversation we had, the thing that you told me that was the highlight of the weekend for you guys.
Every competition is always the peak. I mean, it's great to go back and see every year, see the same teams that come back every year at St. Joe, especially all the teams from this area, seeing the Green Engineers out there from Berrien Springs, seeing the Average Joes just over in St. Joe, even though they're rivals. It's great to see them. It's great to see them at the peak of their performance and doing well because, I mean, I want to see everyone in this area going out and doing their best, just like Kyle mentioned.
You know, Tim and I, you and I talked about this. You know, he mentioned their rivals, but yet it was great to see them. And just the fact that the teams, you know, even though they're there competing against each other, they're still there to help each other as well.
Yeah, the rivalry thing is strong because there's competition and there's the St. Joe Lakeshore rivalry that exists and everything else. And I'm sure here they want to win, but also I'm going to tell you the heated rivalry. I was at the facility at St. Joe High School Tuesday and Wednesday night. I saw the Team Lancebot students and mentors there helping to set up. And then they also stuck around for Teardown. This is a community event, and that's one thing that we've really been striving towards with Sunset Coast Robotics Alliance is these events come into the area. The Average Joes and CW Tech team helped to put together the event that Elisa was talking about at Lakeshore Middle School, and then the teams went and helped at Coloma High School to set up that event. So that community thing, it's different than most other events where you have those natural rivals. We'll get to talk in a couple of weeks with the CW Tech team. To me, you have Coloma and Water of Elite that are together on a team, and you have Lake Michigan Catholic and Michigan Lutheran together on a team. You can't have bigger rivals than that. So, but Drew, we want to hit that highlight. What was the thing you told me that finally got broken this past weekend?
Yeah, so for Team Landspot, we finally broke our quarterfinal curse, and we finally advanced onto the semifinals with our amazing alliance, Team 4325, the Robo Rangers, and also couple in with Team 2474, Team Excel from Niles.
So three teams that are a part of the Sunset Coast Robotics Alliance. That's not why they became a team. It was based upon data, but I have that picture actually saved. It was pretty cool for me, having been a part of trying to work with the community teams to come together, and it was a strong performance. You guys went to the best of three, to the third match, to determine to go to the finals.
That's correct. And, in our 6 years, we've never gone to the semifinals before, and I think it's definitely a good sign that we're going places through our hardships and, you know, coming together as a team, growing.
Excellent. And then before we go to a break, how about a shout-out from Drew?
All right. So I'd like to send a quick shout-out to, all of our teammates working on the robot back home at Lakeshore. And also a huge shout out to our mentors who have helped us out this year. We couldn't do without them, and we couldn't do without our sponsors. So thank you so much.
Very good. So, Ray, we'll go ahead and turn to a break here and then come back and give a wrap up to the show.
All right, this is Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM, brought to you by the good folks at Lakeshore Public Schools, Scott Bradford at Bradford Insurance, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Lake Michigan College, Gation Manufacturing, and Kettering University. We'll take a break and be back to more and wrap it up here on Robotics Roundtable, right here on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. . 6:52 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Ray Gustafson here. This is Robotics Roundtable. We do this every Tuesday night from 6 to 7. We bring in the superstars and we talk about robotics here. I say Southwest Michigan, but I guess, you know, it applies to all over the state of Michigan. Brought to you by the good folks at Kettering University, Gation Manufacturing, Lake Michigan College, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Scott Bradford at Bradford Insurance, and Lakeshore Public Schools. Joined by Tim Dunai, as always. Tim, we're on Facebook Live right now. If you'd like to see what we're doing here in the studio, log on to the WSJM Facebook page, and you'll see that we're doing Facebook Live. We've had a bunch of people watching tonight, and quite a few comments come in. And who's some of the people that are watching and commenting tonight, Tim?
Well, we've got Brian Vanderpowski, who is with JR Automation. JR Automation is a supporter of many teams as well as the event. Several volunteers this past weekend. Gary Langbo, a friend of mine who lived in the area here. And then my brother, along with my three-year-old nephew. Hi, Cameron. Uncle Tim says hi. And we're going to – what I want to do is I want to get back here to the students a little bit. And there was something that Mike behind me had written here. It was first, and it's the hardest fun that you'll ever have. And there's another saying that goes along with first, and is the varsity sport for the mind. And that's probably one of the highlights of – first is this is a varsity sport that everyone sitting around this table has the opportunity to go pro in what they're doing. Some way, shape, or form, they have the ability to take their skill set and translate that into a career path. So I wanted to kind of go around the table here and just find out, we'll start with the seniors and then work our way down towards, you know, the freshman, sophomore, and see what you're thinking maybe about doing school-wise and where you're headed and maybe how first shape that. And I'm going to start to my left with somebody who shot me a text, it was last week or a week and a half ago, right, Drew? And I was actually pretty proud of you. Drew has received a $4,000 scholarship to Grand Valley State University, so I'm guessing that's where you're going. And maybe talk a little bit about what you're doing, and congratulations on that.
Thank you so much, Tim. Yeah, it's been crazy seeing all the opportunities that came out of FIRST. Not only have I gotten a lot of networking with all the people that I've met and come across and made friends with, but also, like, through that networking, I've gotten my first internship, and I could definitely see myself and many other people going places like that. And being co-captain with Kyle has been huge for me, in terms of leadership and work skills. So really, when people like Mr. Denai here support FIRST, like with outreach shows like this, it's crazy the amount of feedback that students get.
We'll go to the other side of the table. Allison, I mean, a little bit further down the line, you're not a senior, but has this started to affect where you may do with your career after high school?
Actually, yeah. I've been for a long time, I was thinking about being a band director, but when we started robotics, we have a new class coming in. It's a robotics class. It will be unaffected to the team, but we'll be learning all the skills the team members have. And I was kind of thinking about going into a job with that, with being a STEM education teacher.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Carson, how about you? How has this affected? You have a career path in mind.
Yeah, I've been wanting to go into video game development, designing the core dynamics and workings of the games.
So the software piece. I remember that when you said the video game. You were on that same path last year also.
Yes.
So this just kind of reinforced it then.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, very good. Dana?
I've always wanted to do something with engineering, but tools don't really fit my hands, so I'm leaning towards more the marketing/technical writing side, and FIRST has definitely helped push me in that direction.
And that's excellent, because we can have engineers and designers create everything. We still need somebody to be able to help tell the story about that product that we've got, so you're picking up a very valuable skill set. Mr. Kyle, how about you?
Yeah, like Drew said, working with him as the co-captain this past year has been really great and really helped me decide that I definitely wanted to go into mechanical engineering, as does he. And so I'm actually planning to go to Kettering University. That's my choice currently. It's also one of the sponsors here. And so I'm planning to go into mechanical engineering through Kettering University.
Very good. Have you been accepted to Kettering?
I have, yes.
Very good. Congratulations. I want to hit Jacob, but I got to cover this real quick. At the beginning of the St. Joe competition, Kettering University, the supporter of this program, randomly introduced four students, and those four students, one of which is Amelia Ostick from the Average Joes locally here, it was announced that they had been accepted to Kettering, and then each of those students was informed that they'd received a $22,500 scholarship to Kettering. So it was a great way to start. Jacob, how about you? What have you learned through FIRST, and do you think you have a career path?
I've learned a lot about different tools, really, I guess. I know a lot about stuff, but being in robotics and stuff has taught me a little bit more than what I knew before. And a job that I was iffy about and I'm thinking more about now is die making, CNC machinists.
Okay, very good. And that's, you know, so you're getting to be around some of that environment, so that helps to make a decision here for you. Well, very good, guys. We could go on and talk a little bit more. We're running short on time. I want to thank you guys for being here today.
This is Robotics Roundtable on WSJM, brought to you by Kettering University, Gation Manufacturing, Lake Michigan College, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Bradford Insurance, and Lakeshore Public Schools. We'll see you next Tuesday night at 6, right here on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.